The words of God given to us today are Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It's page 804 in the Old Testament. I will read the words. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields his fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen. In the world, there are two kinds of people. One are blessed people, and the other are people who are not blessed. Everyone who is born basically live under the general blessing of God, regardless of whether he or she is a good person or a bad person. Why? Because the very world created by God for us to live in is a blessed environment. Air, water, nature that includes earth, all these make up the blessed environment given to us by God. Under such a common blessing, blessed people and people without blessing exist together. It would be ideal for everyone in the world to become blessed people. But this is not the reality. This can be seen in the history of men. Cain and Abel were different. Noah's family and others who lived during Noah's time were different. Abraham's family was different from the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Israelites and Canaanites were different. Now, of course, Israel did not always live as blessed people. Now, how is it for today's people? Are you a blessed person? Or are you a person who is not blessed? We can know the answer if we reflect on the words of Psalm chapter 1. We can tell which side we belong to when we examine what we have been devoting ourselves to, what we pursued after, and how we act. What is important is that regardless of what may have happened in the past or what is happening now, we all must become people who are blessed. What kind of a person is a person who is blessed? After God created man, the first thing he did was to bless him. Our Father is someone who blesses us. But he not only blesses us, but in certain situations, he also condemns us. The principle of blessing and condemnation is simple. If you obey God, you receive blessing. If you do not obey God, you receive condemnation. God created man according to his image and wanted him to receive blessing. But when the man became disobedient, he condemned him. Do you think that God was content in condemning a disobedient person because such person deserved it? He condemned Adam and Eve who disobeyed him, but even in his condemnation, he allowed yet a different blessing. He blessed them so that they can sustain themselves by eating, and so that he can resolve the problem of sin and be with man whom he had created according to his image forever. He made his only son, Jesus Christ, to bleed. And so he continuously looks for the lost sheep, the lost drachma, and waits for the return of the lost son. So that Adam's descendant, who came under the control of sin because of Adam, can be freed from sin's control. He continuously told people about the blessings that accompany obedience and the condemnation that follows disobedience through Moses and other people of God. And God codified the blessings and condemnation as law. Therefore, the words of blessing and condemnation of God are not simply words about reward and punishment, but words of teaching that lead us to the way of salvation. Now, Psalm 1 tells us what blessed people must not do and what they must do. The first verse is about what they must not do. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The verse mentions three things that a blessed person must not do. The first is not walking in step with the wicked. The second is not standing in the way that sinners take. And the third is not sitting among the company of mockers. The word walk, which is mentioned as the first action, has the meaning of following or accompanying. The second action, standing, has the meaning of standing firmly on the same side. The third action, sit, has the meaning of residing. Therefore, a person who is blessed is a person who can tell how he should walk, where he should stand, and where he should take a seat and sit down. These actions are described differently, but ultimately, they share a common feature. The wicked, the sinners, the mockers are all in the same category. The word wicked has been translated from Hebrew so that the meaning of the original Hebrew word can be understood clearly. If we look at the original Hebrew word, we see that the same word was used to describe people of Sodom when the destruction of Sodom came in chapter 18 of Genesis. Here, Abraham refers to wicked people in contrast to righteous people. In other words, people who are not righteous are wicked people. If that's the case, then what would it mean to be walking with the wicked people? Now, this word has the meaning of advice and scheming, and it is a word from which the English word counseling comes from. When a person runs into difficulty and it is not possible for him to resolve it on his own, the person seeks help from a professional or people around him. But who you go for counseling has a great impact on whether the problem can be resolved or not. Now, David's first son, Amnon, fell in love with his stepsister, Tamar. He was desperately sick. He made himself lovesick. And he told his friend, Jonadab, about this. Upon hearing this, his friend counseled Amnon as follows. He told him to pretend to be sick, and when his father, David, comes to see him, he told Amnon to say to his father David, "Please let my sister Tamar come in and give me food to eat. Let her make the food in front of me, then I will see it, eat it from her hand." Amnon paid attention to what he said. He followed the counseling of his evil friend. As a result, he ended up committing the crime of incest. He failed in becoming someone blessed by following the advice of a wicked man. There is another person who fell for the counsel of a wicked person, Absalom and his followers. When Absalom, the brother of Tamar, who was subject to sexual violence by Amnon, found out about his sister Tamar's rape, he became enraged. Absalom, who was the third son of his father, later murdered Amnon and committed treason by rising up against his father's throne. When Absalom was planning a rebellion against his father, Ahithophel, a political strategist, was with him. Now, Ahithophel was one of the 30 men who were initially with David and was the grandfather of Bathsheba, David's wife. Ahithophel became a strategist for David because he was very capable. In today's terms, he was a political advisor and a counselor to David. This man, Ahithophel, who was a political advisor and a counselor to David, had a change of heart and led Absalom astray and stood with the rebels. When David was running away from Jerusalem to escape from Absalom, seeing that Ahithophel was with the rebels, he prayed to God. May his strategy and counseling become foolish. Now, a king of Israel was always someone who was anointed by God. There's no way that Ahithophel did not know this to be the case. And it is easy enough for us to guess that Ahithophel encouraged Absalom to try to be the king out of a wicked intent, despite what he knew. Depending on whose advice you follow, your life changes. Absalom became a person who followed the counseling of a wicked man. And as a result, he also became someone who tricked people. Absalom went frequently to the city gate. He would wait for people who were coming into the city to seek the judgment of the king David over a dispute. He lied that he was a judge who had been delegated with the power to judge by the king. He pretended to give a fair judgment and won the hearts of the people. He carried this on for 4 years and stole the hearts of men. He was planning a rebellion. And people followed after the wicked plan of Absalom, the bad man. If people had not followed Absalom's way, his rebellion would have lacked momentum. But at the end, Absalom's rebellion came to nothing, just as it said in verse 6, the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Ahithophel, the counselor to Absalom, who participated in the rebellion, committed suicide when his counselings came to nothing. Now, there is a term, cocktail party effect. It refers to a phenomenon of a person being able to selectively hear things that interest such person, even in a noisy environment, like at a cocktail party. This term was coined by Colin Cherry, who was a cognition scientist and who worked at Royal London University in England in 1953. He carried out a unique experiment. He had participants who were wearing headphones listen repeatedly to two different stories narrated in the same voice at the same time. He discovered that the participants only focused on one of the stories, they could remember only one of them later. The reason for this is said to be that people have a sensory memory. Now, the sensory memory functions according to selective perception, which allows a person to perceive what the person desires or is attracted to, regardless of how varied or complex the environment. Now, ultimately, the selective perception works depending on what one has stored in the heart. Depending on whether the tendency is to follow the laws of sin is primary, or the tendency to follow the laws of God is primary within us, we would choose one or the other in a particular situation. Amnon, Ahithophel, Absalom, and the people who were with Absalom chose the way of wickedness based on selective perception which had already been formed. Even if two people see the same event, hear the same words in the same environment, people only remember the selected scenes and selected words based on their selective perception and come to form a conclusion. Everyone who comes to church would agree that one must not follow the counsel of the wicked. There are many different voices in the world. A wicked person does not reveal himself as being wicked when giving counseling. It is necessary that our selective perception works correctly so that we do not fall prey to clever and wicked advices. When words are exaggerated, distorted, because of the counsels of the wicked men, shouldn't our tendency to follow God's law work as our selective perception so that we can make the right selection? There are so much fake news these days. There are a lot of distorted news which have been changed from the true facts. In living in an environment where we can hear these various noises, to what noise is our selective perception tuned to? So that our selective perception works righteously and correctly, our hearts that will follow the laws of God are desperately needed. And in order to have such hearts, it's necessary to stay close to God's law, the Bible. This is from verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The law of the Lord refers to the Ten Commandments and all of the regulations that the people of the Lord must keep, including the first five books of Moses. For us today, they comprise of 66 books of the New and Old Testaments. A blessed person is not to follow the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of the sinners, and sit in the seat of the mockers. These actions are prohibited, but a blessed person is actively encouraged to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. That a person delights in the law of the Lord, the God's words, does not mean that he is momentarily pleased in reading it. The word delight in Hebrew means joy, but it also has the meaning of desire or purpose. A person who delights in the law of the Lord is someone who wants the Bible and someone who makes God, who speaks through the Bible, his purpose. What do we delight in? What do we become happy about? Recently, what have you become happy and delighted about? Was it in passing an exam, getting a job or a promotion, leaving behind an illness or pain, or achieving some goal or completing a project? Such kinds of delight and joy do not last very long. But if you remain close to God's words, you can always become delighted. If you face God's words only one day out of a week, then the pleasure will end in a short time. But if you face his words every day, you can be delighted every day. But in the Bible, there aren't only words of blessing. There are contents that are intended to give us a lesson, to rebuke us, to make us right and teach us about righteousness. In such words, there were warnings, condemnations, and the last days. But we can be delighted even when facing these words of God that may be fearful that may make us tremble inside. This is the mysterious delight that can be had in the Holy Spirit. A blessed person is someone who is entitled to such delight. A person who delights in the laws of God the Bible, comes to meditate on it day and night because he does not want to miss out on the pleasure they bring. As written, the footnote of the Bible with respect to the word meditate, it has the meaning of reciting it out loud in a small voice. When you read the Bible, if you read it aloud in a small voice, it helps to focus. If you focus well, you can feel the depth of the words you're reading and the more pleasure it will bring. Meditating means thinking deeply in order to understand the depth of God's words. The more you think about, why did God say this? Or why would God's people say this? The greater will be the work of the Spirit, and such works will add to your delight. There is a poetic verse about the pleasure of meditation in Psalm 35, verse 28. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. Now, the Hebrew word for proclaim is the same word as meditate. When our tongues meditate on the righteousness of the Lord, we can praise him all day because of the delight it brings. A blessed person meditates on the righteousness of the Lord. A person who meditates day and night on the righteousness of the Lord, which are revealed in the Bible, can praise God all day out of joy. What does it mean to meditate on something day and night and day? Literally, it means doing it throughout the entire day. And because night and day repeat themselves as long as one is alive, the night and day in effect means the entire span of a person's life. But it's not necessary to quit your job in order to meditate on the Bible all day. It is only necessary that you meditate on the words of God at different times of the day. You can meditate on his words in the morning before the work begins, and you can meditate on the God's words during the evening or at night when the day's work is done. Doesn't it help a lot to memorize scripture, which is a text for weekly Bible study and meditation, rather than simply reading out loud or thinking about it? When you meditate on the verse you have memorized throughout the week, the words do not only stay in your head, but your heart is moved by it, and you win over the world with that verse. How could it not bring you joy? And if you go about your work during the day with not only the memorized scripture verse, but also the Bible verses that you have heard during the Sunday worship, Wednesday Bible study, district Bible study, and early morning prayer meetings, and Tuesday and Friday prayer meetings, and the verses you have heard and read during your personal daily quiet times, you will be someone who meditates on the laws of the Lord day and night. In the same way that you can rejoice always, you can meditate on the words day and night. In the same way that you can pray without ceasing, you can meditate on the words day and night. In the same way that you can give thanks for everything, you can meditate on the words day and night. Meditating on the words day and night basically means to turn worship into your daily life and turn your daily life into worship. When you, as a daily routine, read aloud God's words in a small voice or thinking about them, you have turned worship into your daily life. A person who turns meditating on God's words into a daily routine and thereby achieve making worship a daily life is a person who is blessed. Would a person who turns meditation into a daily routine and thereby achieves making worship a daily life fall for the advice of the wicked people, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit at the seat of the mockers? So, rather than worrying about what a blessed person should not do, if you actively delight on the laws of the Lord and meditate on it night and day, you will naturally not do what a blessed person does not do. Would you like to win over your self, which falls into worldly temptation or tries to follow the rule of sin, then meditate on the words of God day and night. A person who holds God's words in his heart will not fall for advices of wicked persons. Jesus won over Satan's with words. We, too, can win over the temptation of the world by holding fast the words of God gave us and by proclaiming them. After Moses died, God called Joshua. This is the one thing that God said to Joshua, who was given the heavy responsibility of leading the Israelites. This is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God commanded Joshua to meditate on the book of the law day and night. Now, was Joshua someone who had a lot of free time? If we think in today's terms, can you imagine how much he had to do? Similar to the chief of staff to the president. So, can we slack off on meditation on the excuse that we are busy? And God also commanded, keep this book of the law always on your lips. There should be meditation in our lives by way of saying these laws out loud in small voice and thinking deeply about them so that these words will not leave our lips. And the meditation should not simply stay in our head and lips, but it should continue on to action. If you simply read the words, then we may have problems with turning words into action. But if we meditate on it day and night, our meditation can continue into our actions more easily. God said, do everything written in it to Joshua. Therefore, our meditation should continue into our actions. What will happen then? God promised Joshua, then you will be prosperous and successful. Meditation, which turns into action, will bring prosperity and success. Meditation thus turns into action is meditation becoming your daily life and your worship turning into your daily life. This is the person, the blessed person, who will receive the blessing of prosperity. It is the same when we look at the verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. God, through the writer of the psalm, compares the prosperity enjoyed by a blessed person to a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. The basis of such person's prosperity is in him delighting in the laws of the Lord and meditating on it day and night. Therefore, we must understand that the meditation in Psalm 1 also includes words becoming action. One example of such action in Psalm 1 is found in not walking in steps with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. What is the meaning of prosperity that is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither? The word prosperity has the meaning of forging full force ahead without any obstacle. That anything that a blessed person does will prosper means that God is with him in everything that he does. Because God is with him, he has a life in him that is like a continuous supply of water that can cause him to yield fruit according to season and never let his leaves dry out. On the other hand, a wicked person can never be prosperous forever. Verse 4 tells us that wicked persons are people who will vanish. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. The wicked ones are the beings who are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, they cannot stand judgment and be included in the assembly of righteous. The assembly of people who believe in Jesus Christ, those who have been called righteous in Jesus Christ, this is the assembly of the blessed people. Although there may be hardships when we go down the way of righteousness, God acknowledges the path we take. If a person follows the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, and sit at the seat of mockers, such person will become someone who is like a chaff and cannot participate in the assembly of the righteous, the assembly of the saved. Before we become deeply enmeshed in the territory of the wicked, we must first get up and go back to Father God. Let us take delight in the words of God, and by meditating on it day and night, and walk the path of righteous persons without wavering. The person who travels such a road is the blessed person. Now, Psalm is categorized as the wisdom literature, but as a book of poetry. But even so, chapter 1 is called a poem of wisdom. Psalm 1 introduces and precedes all of 150 of Psalms and is known as a poem which contains the essence of the law. Why would a poem of wisdom be the opening poem of the book of Psalms? It is because we desperately need wisdom when we live in the world. There is a phrase in Korean which says, "umunhyandap," meaning giving a wise answer to a foolish question. In the world, wicked persons tempt people with foolish questions or foolish advice. Even when we hear a foolish advice, let us answer in wisdom and not be tripped over by it. A wise answer can come from our own lips when we read aloud God's words in a small voice and meditate on them. Everyone has the potential to become wicked. Do you think that Psalm 1 was composed with the wicked persons in mind? Not so. It is a poem written with the people of God as readers in mind, to warn them not to live like wicked people. To David, Amnon, and Absalom. To David, Amnon and Absalom were children whom he dearly loved. Ahithophel was someone who was thought highly by David. The people who followed Absalom were people who were chosen by God. Who can dare say that we will not be like them unless we meditate on the words of God day and night? So, wisdom is necessary to living. Only the person who lives wisely can walk the way of the righteous people in the midst of all the chaos in the world with joy. A person who lives with wisdom is the person who has been blessed. A blessed person is someone who takes delight in the Bible, the words of God, and who meditates on the words day and night. Let us all meditate on the words of God day and night and become the blessed people. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to live as blessed people through the wisdom poem of chapter 1 of Psalms. Although salvation is a grace given, not by keeping the laws, but by believing in Jesus Christ and being acknowledged as being righteous in him, help us to remember the words of the Lord. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And take delight in God's words. May we reflect on God's words, which are the law, carry them out in our actions, and not merely hold them in our heads or mind, so that the meditation will become a part of our daily life and may continue into us making worship our daily life and bring changes to our lives. Give us the wisdom to know the difference between the fact that we can never perfectly keep the law and the presumption that we do not need to keep the law, so that we will do our best to keep the words of the Bible, which is your words. In order to do so, may we recite aloud your words in small voice day and night, so that our selective perception will respond rightly to various sounds that we hear in the world. Help us always to meditate on your words day and night, which give us wisdom, not to follow the counsel of the wicked, not to stand in the way of the sinners, not to sit on the seats of the mockers. And may our 100th anniversary memorial church be built well together in Jesus Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.